estimated based on a combination of Georgia, IP, and I now. We came up with those tables based on a whole bunch of different people. We're not actually pulling tissue samples. This project, until last year, had never been funded, the centennial rotation. It's being funded now. So, but yeah, those are all estimates based on known percentages.
All right, okay. Thank you, Wayne.
Thanks, appreciate it.
All right, our next speaker is Dr. Katie Lewis.
Thank you, Paul. As you mentioned, my name is Katie Lewis. I'm an assistant professor. I definitely haven't been coming to Beltwide as long as Wayne, but I hope in 20, 30 years I can still be up here presenting. And it's great to have people like you still coming and presenting, so I appreciate that. Today I'll be talking to you about cropping systems in the Southern High Plains and how, with these cropping systems, we can enhance soil and water conservation in such a semi-arid region, such as the Southern High Plains of Texas. So in this region of Texas, we grow more cotton. We have more cotton acres than any other crop. And this is good. This is great for the region. Some of the challenges that we face is related to the fact that we are in an extremely semi-arid environment. On a good year, we receive about 18 inches annually. Because of this, we have to irrigate about 40 to 50%, give or take a bit each year, is under irrigation. To make things even more difficult, the majority of our acres are going to be in a fine sandy loam soil with inherently low soil organic carbon level. With that, that gives us a high potential for wind erosion and the loss of that topsoil. With some of the conservation practices, such as crop rotation, cover crops, reduced tillage, we do have the potential to increase our soil organic matter, or stored soil organic carbon. And with that, we can have improvements in soil structure, increased aggregation, reducing cresting, which would benefit emergence for the cotton crop. Also, we can improve our soil water holding capacity, which would allow us to conserve soil moisture as well as our groundwater resource from the Ogallala. But I think when we talk about the Southern High Plains, one of our biggest goals is to reduce soil erosion because we can have some pretty dramatic sandstorms. I will say that since CRP was put in place, we have reduced our wind erosion and our soil losses by as much as 40%. So we're making great improvements, and I think farmers continually strive to reduce the amount of soil they're losing through erosion. So, as you all know, cover crops have been pushed quite a bit through NRCS, and for good reason. However, in the Southern High Plains, we have mixed reports when it comes to the use of cover crops. There may be one year that we see an increase in yields. Next year, we don't see that same trend. So it's variable from one year to the next. And guys are using cover crops. Wheat, rye, those are both very common in the Southern High Plains. However, for some of the NRCS funding programs or cost share programs, you have to have, depending on what county, 3 to 4 species in a mix in order to qualify for some of that funding. And so just your traditional rye or wheat doesn't qualify you for some of those programs. But from the NRCS point of view, as a soil scientist, there are some benefits to cover crops from the standpoint of increasing your organic carbon, your organic matter. They're promoted to build soil health, create diversity in the soil. But our biggest concern with the cover crops is soil moisture usage. And so from that standpoint, because we're already in such a semi-arid environment with limited resources, the big question is, can we get those same benefits from a rotation, a cotton wheat rotation, that we can with using a cover crop? So one of the big problems that farmers face is they have a 120-acre pivot, but they don't have enough water to irrigate that entire pivot to cotton. And so some things they may do is they'll implement a rotation. So it'll be a cotton-wheat rotation where only half of it's going to be irrigated and planted to cotton in a given year. And so with this, one of the questions, or the several questions that we're trying to answer, once again, is can we do just as good with a rotation as we can with that cover crop, and how do those compare? To address this, our objective of the research that I'm going to be discussing today is to quantify the impact of crop rotation, rye cover, and reduced tillage coupled with deficit irrigation on soil quality, root knot nematode populations, and the subsequent effect on cotton yield, of course. And this is very much a systems approach. So I would like to give credit to my co-authors. Terry Wheeler works on this, Wayne Keeling as well. We look at it from just about every angle possible. The systems were initiated in 2014 at the AgCares farm in La Mesa, Texas. Continuous cotton with rye cover is one of those, and then we have the wheat cotton rotation. The variety that I'll be discussing today is Stoneville 4946. There are several different varieties, but we'll focus on that one today. In addition to that, there is a continuous cotton, continuous cotton system, conventional tillage that was implemented in 1998 that we've brought into this picture for the 2017 data. As far as irrigation, we have a base irrigation level that's roughly 60% of ET, and then a low would be 33% less than the base and a high of 33% greater than the base. This table here at the bottom shows you irrigation amounts, pre-plant and season in total for 2014, 15, and 16, which are the years that we're going to be discussing. And if we look at total in 2014, it ranged from 8.1 inches in the low to 11.1 in the high. 2015 ranged from 4.4 to 7.9, and 2016 ranged from 5.6 inches to 8.7 inches. And the reason for those differences is that 2015 was a wetter than average year. 14 and 16 were more of our average rainfall years. Here's the system, and as Wayne mentioned earlier, we do have in that rotation, we have cotton represented each individual year. So there's not a year that we don't have data or cotton yield data. So here in the dark black lines, we have our continuous cotton planted into rye cover, reduced tillage, and then we have our cotton wheat rotation here on the right. In 2016, this wedge here was cotton. In 2017 is when we harvested the wheat and it set fallow. And then here would be the opposite of that. So wheat was harvested in 2016, set fallow, and then we planted cotton in 2017. And I mentioned earlier that we also have this continuous cotton conventional tillage system, which is kind of our check. It's our control in the system. And it'll be data that I include and I present to you just for 2017. So we're looking at cotton lint yield, loan value, and then we've recently incorporated some economics into that, and I'll present to you some preliminary data looking at the gross margin. So what is the system, one system compared to the other? What are the differences in the cost, and then what are the gross margins for those systems? As I mentioned, Terry Wheeler also works on it from the standpoint of root knot nematode, and so we'll look at early season galling and soil densities in the fall. From the soils perspective, we are monitoring soil organic carbon, aggregate formation that's going to be presented as mean weight diameter, and inorganic nitrogen, so both ammonium and nitrate at depths. However, I'm not presenting that data today. Start things off, we'll talk about lint yield. So this is combined data from 2014 to 2016. And what you'll see, we have on the green bars are continuous cotton with rye cover, and then the maroon bars are our wheat cotton rotation. And regardless of what irrigation level you're looking at, the wheat cotton rotation produces greater lint than the continuous cotton with rye cover. And another interesting thing to note, too, is that if we compare the low irrigation level in the wheat cotton rotation, we're doing better even under base irrigation in that continuous cotton with rye cover. So over this 3-year period, what seems to be better, at least from the yield standpoint, is going to be the cotton wheat rotation. Next, we calculate irrigation water use efficiency. And we have 2014, 15, and 16 separated. I mentioned that 15 was closer to average, maybe a little more than average rainfall, and then 14 and 16 are closer to that that average, sorry. In 2014, we didn't see any differences in irrigation water use efficiency. 15 and 16, we do see differences there, and consistently the cotton wheat rotation has greater irrigation water use efficiency compared to that continuous cotton with rye cover, regardless of what irrigation level we're looking at. Moving on to the nematodes, and I'm just going to tell you now, if you have questions, I can direct them to Dr. Wheeler that's standing at the back of the room. But in short, we do see a reduction not only in galls per root system, which is the figure on the left, but also in root knot nematode densities, which is the one on the right, when we implement that wheat-cotton rotation. When we look at the continuous cotton with rye cover, we have greater galling and root knot nematode density in that system compared to the rotation. All right, so the economics, the money. For 14, 15, and 16, remember this is just preliminary. This would be the difference between the two systems, what practices may vary, and so it's the cost that's associated with that, just looking at the cotton portion of the cotton wheat rotation. For any of the irrigation levels for all 3 years, we are better off with that wheat cotton rotation. We're anywhere from $150 up to $250 greater per acre in the wheat cotton rotation than we are in the continuous cotton with rye cover. And I want to present this to you as two different scenarios. Scenario A is going to be our continuous cotton with rye cover. And we can remember, we can only irrigate half of this pivot. The other one's going to be a dry land system. And then scenario B is that rotation where we have cotton 1 year, we drill wheat, leave it fallow that next year. So really, we're still only irrigating half of both of those pivots in either one of the scenarios. Now, you're probably wondering, there's something missing here. So 2017, we started including that continuous cotton as our check, the conventional tillage. And so in that scenario C, now we have continuous cotton, conventional tillage, and then the other half of that pivot would be dry land cotton, conventional tillage. Here are yields from 2017. Very similar trends to what we've seen in the past between the rotation and the rye cover, but now we have that conventional tillage. And other than under that high irrigation, the conventional tillage statistically yielded more than the wheat cotton rotation or the rye cover. But if we look under that high irrigation level, we're 300 to 400 pounds greater in the conventional tillage compared to the rye cover and the cotton wheat rotation. Moving on to more of the soil measurements that we're taking. Here we're looking at soil aggregation as meat weight diameter. These samples were collected in April of 2017, and we're looking at four different depths, 0 to 6, 6 to 12, 12 to 24, and 24 to 48 inches. And the only place that we really have started to see some differences, remember this is just 3 years after the system has been in place, but in the 0 to 6 inch depth, we do see some differences with the rotation having a greater mean weight diameter than the rotation, but the cotton portion of that rotation, and then the continuous cotton with rye cover. And I think it's important to note here that we aren't seeing those benefits that we think come from the rye cover or any sort of system where we should be seeing an increase in organic carbon, which is what we're seeing. So here we have soil organic carbon. The left is high irrigation and the right is low irrigation. Continuous cotton are the blue lines. The red lines are the wheat portion of the rotation. The green lines are the cotton portion of the rotation, and then the purple is the continuous cotton with the rye cover. And looking at this shallowest depth in the high irrigation, we don't see any differences. However, in the lower depth, that 6 to 12 inch depth, we are seeing differences with the continuous cotton rye cover having greater organic carbon than those other systems, which is what we would expect. And very similar trends when it comes to the low irrigation level. So in summary, we've seen that from 2014 to 2016, which I realize is a relatively short period of time, but this is 3 years worth of data, we are consistently seeing that the cotton wheat rotation increased lint yields compared to the continuous cotton with rye cover. And we have several ideas as to what's causing that. One of those, of course, being the pathogens, the root knot nematode. It may be water related, and there may be some nutrient dynamics too that we need to start evaluating. In 2017, with the addition of the continuous cotton conventional tillage, we are increasing lint yields compared to those other systems with that. I'm getting the red light, so I guess I need to hurry, huh? And then as far as the soil is concerned, we have seen that increase in soil organic carbon with the cotton and rye cover. And this just goes to show you that we need to be more regionally focused when we develop or when we implement soil health promoting practices. With that, I guess I don't have time for questions.
One question.
No questions. Yes, sir. We're terminating the rye cover early April, typically, late March to early April. So a full month for sure before we plant cotton. Thank y'all.